Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here in studio with the one, the only, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Steven Weasel Hurley here with me to bring you here on NGSC Sports, where we never stop bringing you the best sports talk you can find virtually anywhere. Certainly better than reading LeBron James's tweets. That's my opinion. I mean, you know, some people are into that. I don't get how every time I try to watch ESPN, I got to hear about LeBron James tweeting about something. Does it seem like that to you, or is that just me?
Maybe a little bit just you, but
okay. Well, you were the one that was a LeBron James hater in the past. I'm just saying.
I've grown to respect the guy.
I'm over that. That was a previous phase of my life, Cal. You need to let that go.
He redeemed himself.
He redeemed himself. It's called Game 5 against the Celtics a few years back. I'm just saying. Anyways, with that in mind, unfortunately, we will be without Chris Rankin this evening. He is busy doing things associated with fighting fires and the business of fighting fires, being a fireman here in Sumter County. A fighter man. That's like something out of Mortal Kombat. No, a fireman in Sumter County here in Florida. So he will not be with us tonight, but that's not going to stop us from bringing you quality stuff. But you know, Weasel, in the interest of bringing people quality stuff, now you and I, on occasion, have been known to partake in a little bit of NBA. I mean, we did just cite having witnessed LeBron James redeeming himself in your eyes. I was at your house that day that happened. Game 5 against the Celtics two finals ago. Maybe it's three now. Hell, I don't know. But the point is this. We watch enough NBA and we've played enough basketball as fans to at least appreciate the game, understand what's going on. You know, we are certainly far from basketball retarded. Yes, I know we live in Orlando, but don't hold that against us. All that being said, the All-Star weekend was, of course, this week. First of all, I won't even touch on the fact that the second biggest element of the All-Star game is Kevin Hart winning the MVP for the fourth time in the Celebrity All-Star game, and that the number one thing is actually the three-point contest. The dunk contest is third, fourth being the game itself. Now, I know that the All-Star game, everybody goes in saying, you know, take it for what it is, all that other stuff. It's gotten to that with any All-Star game in the professional ranks. But I think it's at the point now, and you and Chris have both given me looks for calling me and, you know, called me many sorts of crazy when I talk about the Pro Bowl is improving. I honestly think, because I watched a little bit of the All-Star game, not a lot, because, you know, my baby girl's adorable and I like being around her. And I guess that's a me problem, so to speak. But I watched a little bit of that game and the lack of defense being played. And, like, they just have – when I came in, the game was just up in the corner like a split screen, right? And, like, they're interviewing the winner of the dunk contest, who's some guy who I've never heard of before previously. And the game's just kind of going in the background, and they're just kind of lobbing the ball about and trying various alley-oops and all this. I mean, you know, the complete – again, we understand there's going to be no defense, but at this point – I got to say that the Pro Bowl has surpassed the All-Star game in credibility for the NBA. You're with
yes,
that, Weasel?
Yeah, I agree. It was pretty weird having like Team Irvin and Team Carter for the Pro Bowl. But the thing is you got the players. You're not just, you know, NFC, AFC. You actually have a chance to play against and hit your teammate.
Right.
So it makes it a little bit more fun. And as for the NBA, I mean, Russell Westbrook. Yes. He had 41 points.
Chucked a bunch of threes.
And it's like, I think it's more like, you know, alley-oop, you know, hey, look at us. We're having all fun and all, but I'm going to bring, this is bad, I'm going to bring up baseball. Now, their All-Star game, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but if whatever team wins the All-Star game, AL or NL.
Correct.
The World Series teams, they
host.
They host. So that actually makes it worth something. But in the NFL, it's like kind of a, you know, it's fun, but it was a good time to change it up. So
yeah, I like the way you put that, and not to mention defense is being played. I like the point you made about the MLB. I don't necessarily like that they did that, but it certainly prevented Bud Selig at the time from being put in a position to declare the game a tie, you know, and. In the opening And the debut game of this current edition of the Pro Bowl, two Chiefs collided. I think it was Justin Houston and not McClester, Jamal Charles. Don't quote me on that. I could have that wrong. But the point is this. Two Chiefs teammates, the defender had to tackle the offensive player and drew an illegal hit penalty for going helmet to helmet with him. Now, if that isn't evidence of at least some defense being played, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the NBA, you would need a microscope to find defense. So at this point, I'm declaring the Pro Bowl the more credible than the NBA All-Star game as far as these exhibitions that they do. But, I mean, you and I both know those are more there to be talked about, to be debated, than they are to be actually played. I mean, if you don't understand that, you're just not paying attention. But, you know, by the same token, I don't know. It was a sad specimen. Russell Westbrook, chucked the ball for days. Whatever. There you go. Stephen Curry won the 3-point contest. That's all I was worried about. I'm just saying. So, anyways, you know, something that usually comes up this time of year, other than the fact that we all lament that football isn't being played right now. I don't think that's just me, but free agency and the draft. And right now, since Josh Zimmer and Montel Hardy on NGSCSports.com currently have the draft on lock with our Draft Central section of the website, I wanted to take a little different approach here on the show tonight and kind of touch on those free agents that are going to be an impact in our potential candidates for the free agency tag, for the franchise tag, franchise tag. And leading off here, I got Ndamukong Suh. Now, here's the part that's interesting about Ndamukong Suh. Gerald McCoy of the Bucks and J.J. Watt have pretty much guaranteed it that Ndamukong Suh, for his talent level, is going to attempt to command a $100 million contract. Would you, if you're the Lions, would you sign him long term?
Well, the thing is about Ndamukong Suh is that he's got a little history. I'll just, the most recent one, I think people know.
But his feet were cold, Weasel!
Yeah, I think it was the last game of the season or so. And when Aaron Rodgers went down on, I think, a sack, or he threw it away. And when Sue was getting up, he stepped on, accidentally stepped on his ankle, and then he went off of it. And what the weird thing was that he stepped back again.
Yeah.
And not only just stepped on the ankle, he lifted his other foot. So about 305 pounds would be concentrated on Aaron Rodgers' ankle. And the thing about it is he said he couldn't tell because of the frozen tundra.
My feet were numb.
He couldn't tell the difference. And it's like, no, he just makes so many excuses, and he has a history of it. So, but the guy, I mean, you'll pay for talent.
Yeah.
And if they can, I think it's some, not just like a, what contract? Not like a, well, I'll get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get him a contract that would, protect them from certain things like suspensions or, he gets certain incentives, but because $100 million, I mean, you have a guy like J.J. Watt who deserves it.
Yeah.
And then Sue, talent-wise, he deserves a $100 million contract, $100 million contract.
Compared to his peers, yes, I'll agree with that.
But it's just with his past, it's like, do you want to put up with that baggage? So Lions can. I mean, they have for the past, 5 years or so, but just a reasonable one that has something to do with his attitude and behavior.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And let me add this to element this to it a little bit. Repeat offender. Now, granted, when he got suspended during the season, we had a lot more stats to support it. But how many times has he had instances of suspensions and or fines? I think it was like 9 or something stupid like that. I can listen to the previous episode if I wanted to verify it. But the point is, history don't even begin to cut it. And he's currently on pace to where if he gets hit with something again, he'll be facing a longer suspension because it definitely wouldn't have been within 17 games without incident this time.
I think that Ndamukong Suh has a calendar, and what he does is whenever he has an incident like that, he's going to have to wait another 2 years, most likely, for it to clear so he could then step on someone else.
Again, remember, it's not 17. It's more than 17 games. I forget the number of games, but keep in mind, it's not two full calendar years even, because preseason games and postseason games count.
Oh, they count.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't mean to correct you there, but I think that one's pretty important. That it ain't even a two full years. Like, if he commits a similar infraction week 17 in 2017, he's safe. And of course, he knows that because he's marking his calendar. Like,
exactly.
You're talking about.
So it's one of those things, talent.
I mean, yeah. Now, if you're the Lions, let's be honest, other than that defensive line and some decent play from linebacking core, what do you really have? That's the problem. Now, you mentioned something, not really an incentives bonus, so to speak. Let's say, look, Ndamukong, Indy, whatever you want to call him. We'll give you $110 million contract, just for example. However, these wouldn't be incentives, but rather punitive steps. We'll have certain punitive elements of this contract to where if you act up, we keep some of that cash. Now, maybe he won't sign it, but, you know, either that or you get franchised, one of the two.
Because even with his past incidents,
yes,
it's always the I didn't mean to do it type thing. It wasn't. Yeah. He doesn't like just, you know, say it straight up. I did it. It was the wrong thing to do. But no, that doesn't. Excuses come out of him. So
I mean, you know, I'm not saying that he has to go to the microphone and go, "Yeah, I stomped on that mother beep's head. What about it?" I'm not looking for that. But I mean, my feet were numb. Come on now. Even amongst bullies, you can come up with better excuses than that. I mean, even if he said his ankle accidentally jumped into my foot, that would sound better than my feet were numb. I don't know.
It's just the thing that it takes off the question for me was when he stepped on the ankle and then lifted his other foot.
Yes.
That, I was like, okay, yeah, that was on purpose.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah, no, we don't even have to relive that. I still don't know. I mean, Ted Cottrell had to make that decision based on a technicality altogether. I ain't even trying to get into that.
Yeah.
But so let me ask you this. If the Lions don't keep him, where else would he go?
How's Vince Wilfork doing?
Vince Wilfork is old, but I don't see any way Indy will be playing in New England. not to mention, he's not really a nose tackle type, I don't think. Because they do run a bit of a 3-4 shop.
That's true. I don't know.
But I'm thinking, you know, the first things that come to my mind are perhaps Miami.
Raiders, they have money to throw around.
The Raiders do have money. Yeah, Miami's out of the... Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because Miami's cap situation is complete trash. So that's off the table. Not unless they get rid of Mike Wallace or something like that. And not Mike Wallace specifically, but his number. The Raiders is an interesting choice because they have an up-and-coming linebacker in Khalil Mack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or that's not his name. Oh, I'll look it up in a second here. But Raider Rome would get pissed at me. By the way, check him out. 8 o'clock Eastern time on the NGSC West Recess. They cover all sports out there now. So I don't know. My heart's still warm for that show because I was the original host of it, even though I live in Florida. Whatever. But anyways, check that out. That's a good show as well. At any rate, so... maybe the Bears make sense because it's, you see, let me ask you this, because I know you have your hand is on the pulse of the passionate Bears fan, thanks to your wife. Hi, Amanda. How are you? How would she feel if Ndamukong Suh suddenly landed in those ranks?
Well, I think he's got to have some people that would, step up to him. I think in like the locker room wise. And
hey, I remember that time when you...
Yeah.
So to speak.
And they also have John Fox, who, the new coach.
Interesting concept.
I think he's a defensive mind. And I forgot, he had, like, I think back in the day, like, he had impressive defensive tackles.
You mean Chris Jenkins, for example.
Yeah, there you go. So I think he would have to, you know, be able to control him. But I think one player will be getting to this guy later, but he had troubles in the draft. He had early on in his career, he's a wide receiver for our team.
Ah, yes, we'll definitely be getting to him. Happens to wear a silver helmet as well, yes.
Immature was thrown around a lot.
Uh-huh.
And, well, this guy kind of, he's changed, and he may get paid because of it. So, talent-wise, I was talking about Dez Bryant, wide receiver for the Cowboys.
That's cool.
But, you know, Sue has not, you know, I don't think he's really changed, so...
Certainly not to the extent Dez Bryant has. And actually, I see we got a caller here. We'll get to you in just a second. But now that you brought up Dez Bryant here, let me ask you this then. Because without question, Sue leaving is less of a blow to the Lions versus Dez Bryant departing from the Cowboys at this point.
Because
I feel like Dez Bryant has the talent, and with the way he's starting to actually develop as a leader and not just a mouth, you know, Tuan Staley wrote a pretty awesome piece about that on NGSCSports.com. Made a lot of sense to me. But he's developing to more of a leader than Ndamukong Suh is, certainly for his squad. And once Tony Romo actually, you know, once his spine does officially disintegrate, I feel like he's going to be...
That's not cool.
I know, but that's the situation, man. I mean, you know, I don't want to see it happen either, but, you know, it's a situation where I think the next generation of quarterback, we'll just say that Tony Romo won the lottery. How about that? And the next generation of Cowboy quarterback will be reliant on Dez Bryant for his advancement. I think reliant on Bryant. Huh? There you go. There's your art for the day, kids. How about that? Anyways. So I kept him waiting long enough. I'm pretty sure I know what he's going to talk about, and he'll probably transition nicely to our next topic later on in the show, but we'll go ahead and bring him in. We haven't talked to this guy in quite a while, but he's a warm, warm friend of the show, the mad scientist of sports himself, Mr. Nick Ficcarelli. What's going on, Nicky Fick?
All hail Peyton. Peyton is God.
Without even missing a beat, dude. I love it. I love it, man.
So, good evening, gents. How are you tonight?
No, man, it's great to see you. Great to hear from you. You know, you don't come just for the sake of appearances usually here on this show. So I know you got something for me, so I will hand you the floor to get us started off on your point, sir.
You know, free agency is upon the NFL right now. And what is scary is five teams have over 50 million dollars in cap space.
Yeah.
Let me repeat that. Let that sink in for a second. Five teams with 50 million plus in cap space. If you were an unrestricted free agent or even a restricted free agent right now, you are salivating at a 72-ounce steak from Amarillo, Texas, going, I am going to devour this because I will be getting my bank.
Yeah.
However, then you look at the teams. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have the Oakland Raiders. You have the New York Jets. You have the Cleveland Browns. And you have the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are a free agent and you know you're going to get bank, the question I have for you is, do you look for a positive, stable environment in which you know you're going to get paid, but you're not going to get paid as you think you may? Or do you deal with the devil reincarnate himself? And no, I'm not talking about Jerry Jones. And do you go to one of these teams, take the money, try to help rebuild some glory to said franchise, only to walk in to complete and utter chaos, mayhem, mass destruction, or maybe listen to a GM text his quarterback coach and, you know, want to know why Johnny Football's not playing and how Brian Hoyer sucks and the play calling is awful and all that type of stuff. But I digress.
Real brown so, man on this show right now is Nicky Fick. Let me tell you.
So we could sit here and we could pontificate all we want about the free agencies and stuff like that, but there is one free agent I do really want to talk about, and I know he's probably, you know, going to be thinking the same thing, and that's one Mr. Randall Cobb. You have Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas, obviously, as the class of the wide receivers in this draft. That would not be in this draft, listen to me, in free agency. And if you sit back, you know Dez Bryant is somehow going to get paid by Jerry Jones by hook and by crook. The only problem for Dallas right now, though, is they're only $4 million under the cap. And they have a big decision to make between Dez Bryant and Marco Murray and a couple of other guys that they're probably going to end up cutting. You got Demaryius Thomas. Obviously, I have no problem with him being hit with the franchise tag because the only way for Denver to keep both Demaryius and Julius Thomas is to hit one of them with the franchise tag and pay the other one through the nose. Well, Demaryius, you got another year to get your bank. Julius is going to be the one getting paid through the nose mm-hmm. if he can just stay healthy and not get a hangnail or anything like that. But then we go to Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb is the third best wide receiver in this free agency class. And we know that Jordy Nelson is the highest paid wide receiver on the Green Bay Packers.
And if we didn't, we do now. That's right.
At $9.4 million.
Yes, sir.
Randall Cobb has pretty much come out and said, I don't want to be paid like an elite wide receiver. I wouldn't mind getting $9 to $10 million. Now, herein lies the quandary that I have with that, though. I will totally understand if Randall Cobb said that because he wants to placate the Packers brass into possibly re-signing him for a said contract to put him on par, not overpay, but on par
competitive
with Jordy Nelson.
Yes.
As well as knowing that this is, what do you call, a certain wide receiver, tight end that I just sort of happened to mention in one Julius Thomas also happens to be a free agent this year. And what's the one thing that the Green Bay Packers really need on the offensive end?
I'm glad you said the offensive end because I was totally going to make a joke about the defense needing help. But yes, you're right. It's inevitably a tight end.
Exactly. Now, some people are saying 6 years, $54 million with a nice signing bonus will do the trick. I'm saying to myself, you know what? If you came out and said that, you just gave a benchmark to 20 teams that are under the cap right now to be like, you know, we can fit this guy in our lineup if he's only going to be willing to go that much. Now, the one drawback that I have about Randall Cobb is this. I believe he's a very, very good 1A, 2, or number 2 wide receiver. I can't see him being the guy, as they would say. Case in point, look at Eric Decker. Need I say more about that?
Okay. If we're going to throw Eric Decker under the bus real quick, because and I have an answer to that other question, but let's hit Eric Decker here real quick. Let's quickly, the quarterbacks he's had throwing to him are Tim Tebow, Kyle Orton, Geno Smith, Michael Vick, and Peyton Manning. That spread of quarterbacks is, it's hardly fair to either call him good or bad on the strength of being thrown to one of the greatest quarterbacks ever or some of the most depleted quarterbacks in the league right now. I can't put that on Decker.
Actually, I can't, and I'll give you my good reason why.
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah. Okay, you are playing with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He is not the greatest, although he is God, and I worship at his altar almost every single night, but I digress. But when you have an offense of that firepower and you are lined up opposite Demaryius Thomas, you are lined up opposite Julius Thomas, you were lined up one healthy Wes Welker, you have in the backfield, and now at the time, Nolshaw Marino, and after this year, it's going to be C.J. Anderson.
Yes.
You know, you look at that offense and you say to yourself, you can get 85, 1,200 double-digit touchdowns year in, year out, and you will be paid nice and handsomely. Instead, he decided, you know what? I'm taking the money and run. I'm going to play for Rex Ryan and New York Jets, and I'm going to destroy my career and show why I'm not a number one wide receiver. I could care less if it was Michael Vick, Geno Smith, Joe Namath, Matt Kavanaugh, Richard Todd, Ken O'Brien, Pat Ryan, Donnie Nagel, or anybody quarterbacking that team.
By the way, Nick just proved he was old. I'm just saying.
Thank you. Thank you. Wait a minute. Why am I saying thank you? Anyway.
I like your point, but the one thing I would counter with, because I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that the jury, at the very best, the jury's still out on Eric Decker. I'm not worshiping him. But you got to notice the games where Geno Smith decided to actually play well, Eric Decker's numbers were ridiculously high. He was the top.
Well, you do know, but you do know, though, that Eric Decker is probably going to go down to Jacksonville one day, stare up at that owner's box and scream.
I don't have the sound wave queued up anymore, man. You got to be...
That's horrible.
Hey, man, blame BTR for charging us what they did, man. That's like, you know what that is.
Yes.
I got to re-record it. You know what's up. And I will do that just for you. But let me you post something very cool there with Randall Cobb, and you open with the teams with $50 million under the cap. How about Super Bowl participants with more than $20 million under the cap? The damn Seahawks have $22 million-ish.
I knew you were going to go there, and I wanted to open that door for you, good sir, because let me tell you why Randall Cobb cannot go to the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, I didn't mean him necessarily, but continue.
Exhibit number one, Byron Maxwell. Everybody seems to forget that he's a free agent this year. Someone's got to pay him, and he would be foolish and foolhardy, not Montel Hardy, but foolhardy to leave. To leave the Seahawks, especially when he knows when he was the one that was injured last year, the first five games of the year, and that defense looked kind of, sort of human without him. Number two, there's a certain quarterback, Wilson. That's
that
right. Not the volleyball from Castaway, but Russell Wilson.
Nice. Hey, by the way, the biggest screw job in the Oscars ever was Wilson the volleyball not getting the best supporting actor. I'm just trying to tell you.
Well, actually, a lot of people petitioned for that to happen, never did, and unfortunately, in whatever, objects are not allowed.
I just want an asterisk there, okay? Give me my asterisk.
I know. It was probably the best acting job ever because you didn't have a line.
Hey, that worked for Arnold Schwarzenegger in the original Terminator movie. What do you have, three lines? I'm just saying.
Yeah, pretty much, and he made millions off it, but I digress.
We digress.
But, yes. So you needed to pay Russell Wilson. Who knows what they're doing with Marshawn Lynch? Is he getting cut? Is he going to retire? Are they renegotiating his contract? Are they going to like load up the money up front so this way they can the cap hits don't tell you know, you get hit on the back end? And then you have the issue of, no offense, an offensive line that this year seems to be very leaky.
I don't agree with that. I'm afraid, respectfully. I mean, look. Here's the thing. Their O-line has been so good that they take a small step back and they look leaky. They're not as good as they've been, but I'm going to call them bad. I mean, let's be clear. The key to running the football in the Super Bowl was double team Vince Wilfork and give it to Marshawn, and the rest would just happen. Now, we're not going to get into the play call because this is only an hour-long show, but I think you see what I'm getting at is
I think it was one of the most brilliant play calls ever in the history of the Super Bowl, bar none. I really do, from the bottom of my black heart. Yes, the sarcasm is absolutely dripping out of every orifice of my body right now in saying that.
Wow. Okay, we're going to move on. I'm not trying to talk about orifices up in this piece. I'm just saying. But
no problem. In all seriousness, I do like the idea of Randall Cobb going to the Seahawks, but again, it ends up being that he becomes the number one wide receiver. We know he's a really, really good number two guy. Can he be the man? There is precedence, and you know this, good sir. There is precedence of number two wide receivers getting number one money, and I'm not talking Eric Decker. I could go as far back as Alvin Harper, that go and get paid, and they can't produce.
Yeah, I agree with
you. That's why I have trepidation about guys. You know, I have trepidation about guys, you know, getting that number one money and then feeling the pressure to produce like a number one, and the numbers will never show for it. And then, of course, the ever-dreaded B word gets thrown their way.
Bust.
And, you know, then after that, you know, the next contract the guy gets, it's going to be a one-year, $1 million deal. Show me the money. Show me what you got. Because then after that, you get that stigma. I mean, we've seen it with many players in the past. This is why free agency is such a crap. Everybody says the draft is a crapshoot. I think free agency is a worse crapshoot than the draft these days.
Interesting.
Because gobs of money are going to be thrown at players' ways, and the players either are going to be like like Emmitt Smith, or they're going to be like Jamarcus Russell.
You mean they're going to be either like J.J. Watt or Gerald McCoy? Because J.J. Watt, you always make an excuse to talk about J.J. Watt on the show, Nick. You should know this by now.
Well, J.J. Watt, to be honest with you, you know, his the first couple of years when he played at Wisconsin, he was an unknown quantity. He had one of the most amazing senior years, you know, that anybody could ever have, and he's And then he's now like the greatest, you know, defensive lineman, you know, the great out there in the game today.
Yeah, I was talking about
the only problem. The only problem, though, is that you know. The problem with that is though now we're going to see how much Sue is going to get in this free agency thing, which is going to open a door for Watt going, you know what, I did sign this nice cap friendly contract, but now I want my money. So
I don't see JJ Watt
a double-edged sword.
But I will give you Gerald McCoy on that front.
Gerald McCoy, what about him?
Being in Tampa, being that guy to ask for his money as such, I don't think Watt's going to push that. That he doesn't have the personality for it.
What do you call it? Gerald McCoy? Never heard of him before. From what I remember, he was some sort of lineman that you know played for Cleveland that one time. But I don't know, whatever.
Tampa.
I'm joking.
It's close.
I'm joking.
So I'm following you. We're good. We're good. I know.
I think the Sue contract is going to open a lot of eyes to a lot of players that have gotten paid already and that are going to be going to their agent and going, renegotiate now. So, and by the way, I will not be surprised if Detroit, being Detroit, throws a franchise tag on Sue and pays $26 million.
And if that happens, I wouldn't be surprised if Sue holds out. But before we let you go into the break here, Nick, you're bringing up all these this free agency and all these cap numbers, and I know they still have to pay Wilson. We've been talking a lot on this show about the Seahawks claiming they're going to fight to make him the top-paid quarterback in the league. If they do that, that's simply a mistake. But let's say they're smarter than that, and there's an opportunity to snag an old general, so to speak, in this league, an old soldier in this league who has been a pretty solid threat at catching passes, even in his as a long man in the tooth. Granted, he wouldn't leave divisions, but he would certainly change colors. I'm talking about Larry Fitzgerald. If that opportunity comes, should they seize it?
Master stroke.
Say again?
Master stroke. A complete master stroke if that were to happen, because you can get Larry Fitzgerald for half the money. I'm being very serious when I say this. You can get Larry Fitzgerald for half the money that you can pay for either Demaryius Thomas, Randall Cobb, and Dez Bryant, because people are going to look at his age and he's going to say, you know what, it's about time the guy goes for the brass ring.
Yep.
Guy goes for the Super Bowl. Seattle is that team that can possibly do it. If they have the cap room, after all that is said and done with the players that we spoke about, I wouldn't be surprised if he says, you know what, I want my ring. This is the place that I know that can give me that. This is the place in the NFC that I know that can give me the best shot. So I wouldn't be surprised. What do you call it? I wouldn't be surprised if John Schneider already has Larry Fitzgerald's agent on speed dial.
I wouldn't either.
Waiting for that to happen, because he has a hellacious cap hit on Arizona right now.
Yes.
And I would not be I would not be surprised if his name is going to be on the cut list. So there are going to be a lot of big names on the cut list. Actually going to open up the free agency doors some more to these teams. Trust me, the accountants at the Big Five right now, and I'm talking about the teams with the $50 million-plus cap openings, are like at the ready for the first phone call saying, start crunching the numbers on how we can get XYZ 1, 2, and 3.
There you go. All right. That works for me. Nicky Fick, thanks for coming aboard. Give your shout-outs, my man.
My name is Nick Ficcarelli. I am the mad scientist of sports. You can find me every Saturday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on the Mad Scientist Sports Lab. Show has been picked up, is syndicated on four different networks, and if you guys are any interested in listening to someone, you know, light his beacons, get his experiments chalked up on the blackboard and have test subjects rolling in and out like it's out of style, I'm the show for you. So, it's been good to come back onto student of the game, and you guys have a good night.
Hey, thanks for dropping in, Nick, man. That was fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we'll good times here. So, a lot of good points here with free agency. That took us right into the break. So welcome me back here in just a short bit. Don't you fret. You know, I should probably apologize to our viewers for playing this, because whenever I hear the song Weasel, you know I'm only just in the mood to play some damn fubao.
Word.
That's my bad, everybody, for getting y'all hyped up for football when there won't be any for a while. I mean, unless you like the Arena League, I guess. I'm sorry! Anyways. Let's jump into the next topic here. Now, we did talk about some free agency elements here. And Julius and Demaryius Thomas were both mentioned by Nikki Fick earlier. We were going to talk about them anyway, but we'll talk about Justin Houston next week, whatever. But, you know, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, and there's talk that Peyton Manning will return as Greg Kubiak retains the coaching spot there in Denver. Let me ask you this, Weasel. And I know that Peyton Manning says that he's trying to return. I know Demaryius Thomas has made a statement that he aims to return in 2015. Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, or Peyton Manning, long-term, biggest impact to the Broncos if they ceased being a Bronco going into 2015?
Oh, yeah. Definitely Manning, because they're going to be looking at a guy, Brock Osweiler.
Osweiler.
I think it's kind of crazy. The guy, I think, is like 6'6 or 6'7. And
his number is 6'2, isn't
and
it? Anyways.
So the thing about him, of course, you know, the guy's unproven. And just Manning, I mean, he just, you know, he makes his wide receivers and tight end a lot better than maybe they are. So, but there is just, you got Demaryius Thomas, the wide receiver, and Julius Thomas, the tight end. So, of those two, you got Demaryius is 27 years old. You got Julius Thomas, who's 26 years old.
Right.
And the thing about Demaryius Thomas's numbers are pretty impressive. It's 16 games started each way. He's had receptions in starting 2014, 13 and 12, 111 receptions, 92 receptions, 94 receptions. 2014, 619 yards, about 1400 for each of the 2013 and 12.
I'm seeing an upward trajectory in a lot of these cases.
In 2014, 11 touchdowns, 14 touchdowns in 2013, 10 touchdowns. And so if they can't sign him, they'll give him the franchise tag, and that would be about $12.8 million.
Correct, yeah. And I got to tell you this much. I think it's more important for them to get Julius Thomas back than Demaryius Thomas. Now, I say that because the near future, as you put it, features Brock Osweiler. Young quarterback's best friend. Go.
It's a tight end, definitely.
Actually, it's a running game in support. But in second place is certainly a pass-catching tight end. I'm messing with you, Weasel. No, you're right.
It's like, yeah, the guy had in 2014, 43 receptions and 489 yards.
Yes.
And 65 and 788 in 2013. The thing is why he's going to be sought after is the 12 touchdowns he's had per season in the past two. I think he was injured, though, last season.
He did get hurt late in the season.
That may factor in, but Yeah, giving that guy a huge contract. But, yeah, definitely he would help out a guy like Brock. So.
Yeah, and well, I mean, the reason why I feel like Peyton Manning's departure, it's big in the short term. Let's not be stupid. Because Brock Osweiler. Is anyone taking that seriously? No. No, not in this room. And I think even if Chris were here, he's not either. I think if Nick were still on the phone, he's not either. I mean, he's the dude that walks in with Peyton Manning is dead, right? You know. But same token, you know, I'm going to say it. I think right now, either Julius Thomas or Demaryius Thomas will be a bigger blow long term to the Broncos. And I'm talking 2016, 2017. Immediately in 2015, if you're trying to win now, which I think the Broncos are still attempting to do, you need to keep Peyton Manning, obviously. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. We don't really know what's going to happen yet, but signs are pointing to Peyton Manning returning, and I think that's a good thing at the very least for ticket sales. But yeah, I'm with you. Franchise tagging Demaryius Thomas seems to be the right move, keeping Julius Thomas long term, an even better one. So... yeah, there you go. All right, so the one thing about taking a week off like we do the Monday after the Super Bowl, I still feel like that should be like the Monday after the Monday after the Super Bowl. The student of the game takes a break. You shouldn't care, you know. but something usually inevitably happens that we don't foresee and that we miss. And in this particular case... it was the very odd case of Mr. Greg Hardy. Weasel, do you want to take it from the top, or do you want me to set it up a little bit?
I'll take it.
All right, go ahead. Tell him what's up.
A little bit of background with Greg Hardy, because Panthers defensive end, the guy's 26 years old, and in his first four seasons, he's had 33 sacks. And in 2013, he had 15 sacks. So that gave him the franchise tag in 2014, which was about $13.1 million.
I forgot he was franchised last year. That's right.
Now, the thing about that is that he played only one game all season and got paid because he was on the commissioner's exempt list.
Well, what put him there?
Well, so this past July, a judge did find Hardy guilty of assaulting his former girlfriend and threatening to kill her.
So wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. And this is so I can get context. So in July, before the season started, he had been found guilty of charges.
Found guilty, yes.
So if the whole Ray Rice stir didn't happen, with the guilty verdict, he still may have been playing. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
So, the thing was that the guy wanted an appeal, and I'm sure the NFL was like, yeah, he can have his appeal, and then we make our decision because it's through the court system. But
I see what you did there.
So we got a guy with $13.1 million. He was, I guess it was last year or so. I'll give like a little bit of a little bit of summary for what happened before. And, I think it was last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, throw it down.
So pretty much... the girlfriend, it's a Nicole Holder. She said that she was scared, worried about her safety. If she went to the police, she said he threw her in the bathroom and later on a futon filled with guns. And, he place his hands on his throat and
on her throat.
And he told her that he was going to kill her. And, so, there was more like details about how he said that the assault rifles were loaded or something like that, and which is all craziness. But what it comes down to—that's
a good word for it, craziness. I like that.
What it comes down to is that he had his appeal just earlier. I think it was last week, and the thing they couldn't go any further with is if they don't have their main witness, if they don't have Nicole Holder to testify.
The alleged victim, yeah. Right? The plaintiff, if you will.
So the people in, I guess it's Mecklenburg County, the officers and everyone, they were trying to track her down, trying to, you know, get her to come in and testify. But the thing was that She was like, she said she didn't want to go through another trial type thing. And so pretty much she stayed away from the police. And so they were forced to dismiss the case. So what I'm thinking, though, is that if a girl, she was truly threatened with her life.
Keep in mind, speculation at this
all
point.
All of that, definitely speculation, yes.
But.
And something that I thought of, it's not, you know, it's pure speculation, of course. I think the guy, he did get paid $13.1 million for a season he was playing.
Yes.
So I'm thinking a good chunk of that went to her. I'm thinking $5-6 million or whatever, something like that. Told her to stay away from the appeal and maybe like sign some document that's saying, I will not bring this up to the media or anything like that.
A gag order for all intents and purposes.
So I think she was paid. And then after, it just wraps my mind. It's like, the guy was found guilty, and then because of the appeal, she doesn't show up, so the charges are dismissed.
Right, which that's is just, typical in any case of this sort. Let's be clear. This isn't a situation where Greg Hardy, because he's a person of note, because he's rich, quote, got away with it. This is something that occurs in the regular courtroom. The prosecution doesn't take care of business in the appeal. The defendant goes free.
Yeah.
So this isn't anything new in the court system per se. And I feel like this is, you know, this is the implication to the NFL and why I kind of want to talk about this. Because Weasel, the chances, your speculation, your thought that you had there, I doubt very seriously you're the only one who's come to this conclusion in the court of public opinion, so to speak. And we'll grant, of course, there's no evidence to support it or anything like that. But you're Roger Goodell. You've smashed somebody with a 13-game suspension. Granted, he was paid because he was only on the list, yada, 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 whatever. And a movement was made by the league to suspend him before the true conclusion of his case, which people always bitch and grime about, oh, Goodell takes so long, all this and that. I think it's more of a signature of the judicial system taking so long than it is the NFL, but that's a different topic. So, if you're Roger Goodell, what can be said accurately about you is you've suspended a guy for charges that he was eventually dismissed on.
Yeah. Well,
but hold on. But what if you're Roger Goodell? What if you actually believe? What if Roger Goodell's speculation is much like what you just said, Weasel? Do you still suspend him?
Well, about that, the NFL, I think on Friday, they filed a motion to get all of the first trial's evidence. Greg Hardy's, the one I guess that happened in July, to get all the evidence from that. And I think what they would do is they wouldn't look more at the appeal. They would definitely look at the evidence. I'm sure he'll have experts. Goodell will have experts and everybody look over it carefully because.
And he'll be very loud about that happening, I'm sure, as well.
And I'll say that this was different than the a lot different than the Ray Rice thing where.
But essentially, there was video and all that.
It was. There's just little things with like, the Ray Rice thing. This and this happened. Bam. But this is like. He was found guilty. All of like there was what he allegedly did was it's like whoa that's a lot and then he's appealed so the NFL you did say that the guy was acquitted or he was
the charges were dismissed
so he shouldn't get then maybe should,
that's a question yeah. I'm asking should he still be suspendable
I think he'll definitely be suspendable because when it happened I guess they have the when you have the code of conduct, if any of things that he did, that's why they want all this evidence from the first trial.
Right.
And then they would reflect that onto, hey, this is the code of conduct for the NFL, the NFL Players Association and them. They agreed upon it. And then they would go after him with that.
And see, this is the thing I was talking about way back in the Ray Rice case. When people were first going crazy about, oh, he didn't suspend him enough, yada, 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 and all this. Now we're going the other direction, okay? Whether it's overstepping the balance, I haven't personally made that decision yet, whether I'm okay with this or not. I'll be honest. But what we're creating now is the potential for the league to punish Greg Hardy more harshly than quote unquote society did. I don't know if you're okay with that or not, but well, that's what's happening.
There is no punishment for on the society side.
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah, how far, because the NFL, you know, they're trying to, you know, you protect your image, and they're definitely after the Ray Rice thing. They said that now they're going to do a lot of homework and make sure they, you know, quote unquote, get it right. But it's just they're making their own, I guess, judgment
system here.
They're
asking to have to hear the evidence, judge it, and also pass the right sentence. This is the responsibility the NFL has taken. And to quote Eric Kusilius, who is on in the morning on NBC Sports Radio, it ain't a good place to be. I'm not a former lawyer like he is, and I still feel that way. Well, while we were talking about this, our third man, our awesome firefighting talent, has stepped aboard because he was able to finally overcome what it was that was keeping him away. But now we have him back. Chris, I'm sure you've been listening to us talk. Let's go ahead and get your weigh in on this real quick. Man.
Yeah, I've been listening about it. I heard a little bit about it. Just, I think the NFL is going to come down on him. I mean, they already suspended him this past year anyway.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think they're going to just, well, they're going to stick with it because of all the bad things that happened with domestic violence this year in the NFL, them and the Players Association are just going to still handle, the harshness of the suspension and going to stand behind their original decision.
I don't think he's been suspended
yet. Since the case did get thrown out, but he was originally found guilty. So
right. So yeah, and I mean you know you said it. We mentioned it earlier. He had missed a number of games, being essentially suspended, not officially, because he was just on the list.
All I was saying was that he played one game.
Yeah,
and then for the rest of the year. Correct me if I'm wrong, he was then placed on the commissioner's exempt list.
Right. Which so, it wasn't a full suspension. You're right. He was still getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
So he hasn't been
suspended yet.
Right. And that distinction's important. Mm-hmm. But I think what Chris is saying is he's like basically what you said. He's still suspendable because of this whole code of conduct aspect. So I don't know, NFL public out there, if this is what you wanted to have happen. But this is what you asked for.
It's going to be based upon the first trial.
Yeah.
So where he got convicted, where the judge found him guilty.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see the whole 13 games though. You might see like a 6 or 7 game suspension, just getting a suspension anyway, and you know kind of with the NFL, the Players Association, and Roger Goodell will probably just come down to a conclusion that. You know, where the year they've had with domestic violence in the NFL, with everybody coming out with that they're still going to make a statement about this, not going to be acceptable. And even though he was guilty originally, but you know, later on charges are dismissed, they're still going to suspend him. I mean, I could see going 6-7 games, but I wouldn't be surprised even if they kept the 13 games with the original suspension.
Wow. Here's the reason why I don't think so. At least I think what you said, what Weasel said, is what's most likely going to be what happens if there's anything levied. And the fact they're looking at the first case actually is kind of evidence that they're willing to do that, that they're willing to levy just on the strength of the guilty verdict in that. Because certainly the guilty verdict of, you know, of domestic violence is something that would violate the code of conduct. It would... be conduct unbecoming of the Shield, right?
Right.
I feel like he may come out. Actually, it'll be a combination of what you two say. He may come out hitting him with that full gamut of games, or at least as much as this new code of conduct will allow. But I think he'll end up cutting that off because I just don't feel right that a sports league can be more harsh than the courts we have to actually, you know, uphold the law. The bylaws of the damn NFL should certainly, in my opinion, be secondary to the laws of the state and country and world and all that other stuff. I mean, I'm getting philosophical, but, you know, that's weird to me. But by the same token, the whole code of conduct piece being in there, they have the quote-unquote legal means to do it. So, I don't know. I thought it was intriguing stuff. I'm just saying. Anyways, so you know, Chris, let me get your weigh in on this too. Earlier we talked about some free agency stuff. Ndamukong Suh, as a free agent, is probably going to be negotiating for $100 million contract ish to get JJ Watt money, so to speak, or Gerald McCoy money. If you're the Lions, do you pay him? Do you franchise him? Or do you let him go?
If I was Lions, I would pay him. I mean, they've stood by him all these years of all his stupid acts that he's done on the field. The Lions, they're going to pay him. They're going to try to do everything they can to keep him, because they don't want to be the Cleveland Browns again, like they were last, you know, few years before, you know, before they drafted him, and then also Calvin Johnson and everything. Like, I mean, look at what was it, the three draft picks they had. The first pick, they picked wide receivers, only Calvin Johnson paying out.
Yeah,
they don't want to go back to mediocrity and with Ndamukong Suh with his presence on the defensive line. They have also another defensive line, Nick Fairley, who's a free agent as well. I think they're going to probably part ways with him and try to get Ndamukong Suh money, because really Nick Fairley's been in the league 3 years, I believe now, 4 years maybe. He hasn't played a full season yet.
Oh, so, yeah. I keep forgetting he gets hurt. That's true.
All right, so... So Nick Fairley hasn't played a full season yet. He's been injured. So with the Ziggy Ansah, the defense end, they're gonna and then also Ndamukong Suh, they're gonna probably try to look for another defense end or another defensive tackle in the draft and keep Ndamukong Suh there, even with his stupid antics he does on field.
You know, and then that brings up another philosophical point that they could go with. Do you go with the problem child who's on the field 16 games? Or do you invest in the quote-unquote injury-prone defensive tackle to anchor your line? I mean, football-wise, the decision is simple. Franchise-wise, it's a very interesting question to ask. I don't know. I don't know.
But you got like Ndamukong Suh did have one off-field issue early in the year, early in his career, as a pot issue. Or early on, but I mean, everything else is on field.
You don't hear
anything else about off field stuff with him the last 3-4 years.
And it ain't off field stuff I'm worried about. that ain't the question.
I know, but at least you don't have to worry about, you know, the off field stuff with him. You just got to deal with the stupidity he does inside. You know, I mean, it's.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. It's a legitimate point. But understand, the defense for Ndamukong Suh now is, well, at least he's never gotten arrested. If that's the best you got, we're in a lot of trouble.
He has been arrested, though, but I'm just saying he's at least he's not. You don't hear stuff about all the bad stuff he's doing off the field, and it's also coming on the field. I mean, me personally, if I'm looking at it, I'd rather have someone doing stupid stuff on the field and off the field.
Interesting. Because, well, in that case, then, you know, the player gets fined and it's over with, whereas if it's off the field, the team has bad press. And that's, wow. I hadn't really thought of that angle until you just said that. I got to be honest. As the owner of the team, yeah, you'd rather have that, because then the player is vilified, not the organization. That's pretty damn smart, Chris. I'll give you credit. Well, unfortunately, though we've only had a little bit of time with Chris tonight, we are getting up to the close of the show here. So check us out next week. We are back in full force like we are every Monday. We'll talk about more stuff like this and bounce things around. If you want to fire at us on Twitter, I'm at TheSOTG on Twitter. Of course, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Wears!
Yeah, boy!
He is Weasel TheSOTG. And of course, Chris Rankin, the hero who battles fires. Especially in Sumter County. Other places, too. Just, you know, that's more an off-the-field occurrence. You can find him on Twitter at RankinTheSOTG. And thanks, of course, to Nick Ficarelli for showing up and talking a little free agency with us. But until next time, everybody, Class dismissed. I got to find the bell. I need to find the bell. There's the bell.